This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Last month, America was thrilled when it learned that despite an emergency landing of a U.S. Airways plane in the Hudson River, everyone on board survived and successfully evacuated the plane before it sank in the icy waters of the Hudson. Unfortunately, the story for those aboard Colgan Air Flight 3407, a subsidiary of Continental Airlines, the story was completely the opposite Thursday night near Buffalo, when all 49 passengers on board, as well as one person on the ground, died when the plane went into a nosedive and crashed into a neighborhood very close to the airport there in the Buffalo area. With me now to help us better understand what we've learned so far about this investigation is David Field. He's the America's editor at Airline Business Magazine. And David, let's start with one of the things we don't have, and that's when listening to the cockpit voice recorder, at least the air traffic controlling, we don't hear a mayday call from these pilots. What does that tell us, if anything?
All it tells us is that there was not a problem of which they had been aware for a long time. Or it tells us that there was a problem of which they've been aware for a long time, but their attention was totally taken up with dealing with the problem. The most important thing that we learned from the National Transportation Safety Board, which just ended its conference a few minutes ago, is that there was indeed ice developing on the windshield of this Bombardier Q400, and probably ice developing on the leading edges, i.e. the front of the wings. Ice on any aircraft wing is a pretty serious problem. And I think what this means is that the pilots were so busy dealing with trying to de-ice their airplane that they didn't have time to make a call into the air traffic control tower.
And David, those of us who have flown in the winter time in the northern part of the U.S. have certainly gone through the de-icing process. What can happen even after that's done once the plane is airborne and ice starts to accumulate? How does that impact the aircraft?
Ice in even really minute, microscopic quantities on surfaces of the wing can so deteriorate the performance of the wing that the airplane becomes unflyable. And we have learned that there were performance problems, that the airplane was pitching and yawing, which means, you know, wobbling around. And all of that is consistent with ice on the wings. And I really have to emphasize how small an amount of ice can just really mess up an airplane's flight. There was a crash in southern Illinois back in 79 or so, and it turned out that the ice that accumulated was literally about a hair's thickness in depth on the wings. But it was enough that the air that's supposed to flow over and under the wing was not able to do so in the manner in which the wing is for which the wing is designed, and the pilot lost control.
David, how surprised should we be that this doesn't happen more often, especially in wintertime?
That's a good question. The question is raised, how come this particular aircraft had the problem, but other aircraft that were in the same pattern, other aircraft going into Buffalo, did not have similarly intense problems? There was a U.S. Airways commuter airplane, U.S. Airways Express, and there was a Delta plane, both in the same vicinity. And even though they both reported that icing was likely, and one of them even had a little bit of ice, neither of them was forced into the same serious situation. So, you know, what happened? And one of the questions you have to ask, and the safety board didn't get into this, is how trained were these pilots in handling this particular model of aircraft in icing conditions? Was the aircraft de-iced at Newark? Was it in extreme weather that was different from the weather the other aircraft were experiencing?
David, you mentioned the make of this particular airplane. From what we know, it's a turboprop. What else can you tell us about it and whether it has any connection with why we saw what happened?
You know, I tend to doubt that the model of the airplane is truly the issue, but you never know. This is an airplane made by Bombardier. It's spelled Bombardier, up in Canada. It's made right near Toronto. It is the newest version, about 2 years old, of a long-standing turboprop called the Dash 8. This one's called the Q400. It's a longer version of the Dash 8. It has more powerful engines, and it's much quieter and it's much faster, but it is basically the same airplane that's been flying for about 25 years. It's an airplane that was made by a company that had some of the very first aircraft to fly in the Canadian bush, you know, up in the Arctic. So Bombardier, de Havilland, know about making airplanes that fly in icing conditions. And no other icing incidents have made the news that involve this particular model of airplane.
And David, less than a minute to go here. What will the process look like for the NTSB in going over the evidence they do collect here? Will they begin with the prevailing theory, or is there a process they follow no matter what they think may have caused this?
No, they have to follow the process. They keep the theory out of their mind because you get blinded by a theory. If you think it's ice, all you're going to see is icing problems. What if it was fuel contamination? What if there was a problem with the engine? What if there was a bird strike? What if a totally unknown factor asserted itself? They go through every system on the aircraft, through the weather, through the air traffic control, through the pilot behavior. They analyze the so-called black boxes, which have been recovered very, very closely, and they keep an open mind. I've sat in aircraft investigations, and they don't let conclusions lead them.
It's going to be fascinating to hear the final conclusion. I know that could be months, if not more than a year away. David, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, even though it's a sad occasion.
It certainly is. David Field is the America's editor at Airline Business Magazine. This is Dateline Washington.